Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree. Tonight is Thursday, and what do we do on Thursdays? We are freestyling. It is Freestyle Thursdays on the Bree Life Radio Show. So I'd like for you to call in and keep me company, and you could do so at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Also, I'd love to hear from you. And send me some emails, and you've been doing that, and you can continue to do so, or send me one for the first time at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. That address again is BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook at BreeLifeRadio. At Facebook and Bree Life Radio at Twitter. So, yes, we are freestyling. And today, since we're on air and this is a radio show, I want to say to all the listeners out there that have heard the news about KISS FM going off the air. It's unfortunate after 30 years that such an iconic radio station would be going off the air. I have fond memories of listening to KISS FM in my room at home back on Carroll Street. I remember when I was 16 years old, I won a contest. And I got $100 for winning the contest on KISS FM. So it's a sad, sad day. But we wish everyone at KISS FM all the best. And may they go on to do bigger and better things. I understand that they're going to be joining forces with WBLS. And hopefully that'll be a good merger. So, yes, we are freestyling. So, people, call 424-220-1862. You can also join our chat room discussion. And you can reach me at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. And jump into our discussion in the chat room. Okay, but in the meanwhile, I am going to play a song. Or actually, you know what? Let me do some housekeeping. I want to send a shout out to some family members that have reached out to me today. My cousin Butch in Brooklyn. My cousin Wahida, and my cousin Timmy, all loyal supporters of Bree Life Radio. I really appreciate it. Thanks for saying hi. If anyone follows me on Facebook, they'll know that I kind of initiated something 3 weeks ago, and I've tried to do it once a week, probably on Thursdays, and I call it the Bree Reach Out and Touch Somebody. So on Thursdays, at any given point during the day, I might put a message up on Facebook to tell people to stop what they're doing, take 5 minutes out of their day, and to call someone who they might not have talked to in a while, or someone that's going through something. We have a lot of people who are unemployed, who are dealing with, you know, financial challenges and, you know, have their own personal struggles. And sometimes when you're going through stuff, you don't want people to know that you're going through something. So you kind of digress and just kind of, you know, push back everyone and not let people know what's going on with you. And I would say to those people, you gotta stay in the light. You gotta walk towards the light, not the darkness. And that there are people that care about you. So I always suggest once a week that everyone stop what they're doing just for 5 minutes and give a person a call that you haven't talked to in a while, or somebody that you know that may be going through something, because you never know. Just a five-minute conversation might change the course of somebody's life. It might save a life. So that's just an effort to try to step outside of yourself and think about your neighbor. Love your neighbor. So, yeah, people, we're freestyling. I need you to call in to 424-220-1862. That number, again, is 424-220-1862. I think I'm going to, at this time, play one of my favorite songs. Is by Giapole, and she'll say it better than me, Closer to My Dreams. And that was Closer to My Dreams by Giappole. It happens to be one of my favorite songs. So, tonight we are freestyling, people, and I need you to call in. Call in to 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Tonight's show is dedicated to someone who I happen to love a great deal. He's my father. His name is Thomas Mohammed Hassan. And he passed away 10 years ago on May 2nd, 2002. And today would have been his 83rd birthday. And I guess I started the show with playing Closer to My Dreams because he always encouraged me to go after the things that I really felt passionate about. And he lived life with a lot of vigor and a lot of passion. And he's greatly missed. He's greatly missed by his family, especially. He's greatly missed by both me and my son, Glenn. So I guess until I get some callers, I'm going to just play some music. The next song that I'm going to play is one of his favorite songs, as Miles Davis was one of his favorite jazz artists and one of my favorite jazz artists as a result of my father exposing me to jazz from, I guess, when I was in the womb. But this next song happens to be the very first song that I ever danced with, my father to. And the name of it is It Never Entered My Mind. I hope you listen and enjoy the song as much as I do. Thank you. that was Miles Davis, It Never Entered My Mind. And that happened to be one of my father's favorite songs. And the first song that I ever danced to him with that I remember stepping on his feet like little girls usually do when they're dancing with their daddies and learning how to slow dance for the first time. So thank you for bearing with me while that song was playing. And we're freestyling, people. We're freestyling, so call in the 424-220-1862. We're going to take our first caller, and I think I know who this person is. Is that my brother from Virginia?
And you know it.
And that's my sister in Virginia. What's up, Stoney?
Well, yeah, she back there looking crazy.
She ain't looking crazy. She looking beautiful as normal.
How you doing, babe?
What's going on?
I'm doing good. I want to take this time to say, you know, happy birthday to Daddy Hassan. I know he up there in heaven.
Bust you upside your head for saying Daddy Hassan.
Well, say happy birthday. I'm gonna call him Daddy Hassan. Is what I'm gonna call him.
Oh my gosh.
I know he up there in heaven, Hassan chopping him. Anybody who ain't supposed to be there, he gonna meet him at the gate and chop him. Oh yeah, boy!
I'm sure he's in good company with all the jazz musicians that he loves so much, and probably playing chess and. I hope not smoking cigarettes anymore. Can you smoke up in heaven?
I don't know. When I get there, I'll let you know. Hopefully, I'll make it.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. What's up,
yeah.
Al?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. You know, another one of these long days. It's just constant phones. You know, when you're trying to maneuver and work deals in the business that I'm in, you constantly, you know, writing proposals, talking on the phone, doing this, doing that. Figuring out ways to create new content, you know, emailing scripts, talking to actors, texting with actors. It's just constant things. So the days be pretty full. It goes by quick because you be so busy most times. But I'm not complaining. Better busy than bored, I tell you that.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. So
that's
aside
for sure.
from all the wheeling and dealing that you're doing, didn't we have a great show last night? And I just want to take the time out to say big up to Dr. Hackley and to George Cook. That was a great participation. And to Alex Leith. We had a great three-part series on what it is to be black in America now.
Right.
Didn't we have a good discussion? It was a good series. And then we also had Quentin from Chicago.
Right.
Who joined into this discussion and infused his perspective, and it was just really, really good. We finished on a strong note. Now, you know, I want to take the time out to thank you personally, because it, you know, through our conversations and, you know, the materials that you send me daily inspired me to want to address this very sensitive but necessary topic. So thank you very much, my brother. I love you very much.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. I love you as well. And I also want to thank the other brother who called in, because he had some real relevant input. I forgot his name, but he spoke a lot about the gang banging, and he spoke a lot about having fear and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And he made some real good points. He brought up some real good topics. So I want to shout out to him as well. He didn't use his real name, but I forgot the name he used.
My goodness. It was International Booby 2. International Booby 2. Big up and shout out to you.
Right.
And
exactly.
Call back to the Free Life Radio show anytime you want.
Right, exactly. So, but you got a freestyle tonight?
We freestyling.
Do you have one, or do you want me to come with a freestyle?
I'm going to let you take the floor on the freestyle, and I just want to know before, I just want to let a caller know, 347-866, 347-866. We're going to pick you up in just 2 minutes, but let's hear what Brother Alex's freestyle is tonight.
Well, you know, I just got to get back to the romance thing. You know, when my son was younger, we went into a drugstore, Dwayne Reed or whatever, what have you. He was very young. And we were in the condom aisle. He didn't know what condoms were, obviously. So he asked. He said, you know, Dad, what's those? I said, those are condoms. He said, well, what's condoms? I said, well, when a man is, you know, having a special moment with a woman, he might put that on to protect himself from disease or having a baby. I explained the situation to him. And he says, okay, well, why does that box have three in it? I said, well, you know, that's for high school kids. You know, they use one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. You know, so it's three in the box.
All right.
He says, yeah, but that box has six in it. I said, well, see that now, that's for college kids, because now they use two on Fridays, two on Saturdays, and two on Sundays. He said, oh, but see that, but there's another box over here, a bigger box, and that has 12 in it. I said, well, that's for married men, one in January, one in February, one in March.
Okay, and we're freestyling.
Where the hell is the romance after we say I do? That's what I want
to
know.
Well, you know what? Why don't we bring on 347-866 to join our conversation and ask him or her, what do they think about that? Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and we're freestyling. Tell us what your name is and where you're calling from. You're killing me.
I don't hear him. You scared him off.
And pick up the next caller. And we're picking up the caller from 718-642. 718-642. Peace and blessings. This is Bree. We're freestyling. Tell us where you're calling from and what your name is. Okay, I love the listeners, but I need some callers, people. and you would call into 424-220-1862. Okay, Alex, what was your question?
You intimidate people. My thing is, where the hell is the romance after I do? That's a big problem. Now, I don't have that problem, fortunately, in my marriage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of brothers are complaining. And
yes,
I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the romance after I do. Because before the I do's, you're getting all you want.
Mm-hmm.
After the I do, it starts to taper off a little bit.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And here's what I say.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, here we go. So
here we go.
Not only do I hear from the brothers that the sex fades after I do, but I'm hearing that it's fading once the woman feels as though she's secure in the relationship before the I do.
Mm.
And I mean, and in fairness, I'm hearing on the other side of the aisle that I'm on the side of, there are women who say that there are men that, for some reason, they seem to not show a romantic side to them. They're not exercising romance and spontaneity and, you know, creativity, a whole bunch of things. And I don't really know why this is happening, but all I can say is that before two people can be horizontal, they have to be vertical. Because if you don't keep the interest vibrant when you're just interacting with one another on a day-to-day basis, sex is going to become quite boring.
Right.
It's going to become mundane. And then eventually it will dwindle out.
But you know what? Let me stop you for a second, Bree. Okay. Because you brought up, y'all looking for, from the female side, you're looking for the creativity, the romance, whatever, after the I do's or whatever.
Oh, that's not true. Others saying they want creativity from women too, you know.
Right. But the point I'm making is, it was fine before the I do. We didn't have to go all out our way to get nothing from y'all. So why the particular demands now?
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? There's a caller from 718-399. 718-399, we're going to bring you on the line and hear what your freestyle is, or if you would like to comment to what Brother Alex has brought up. So let's bring that person on the line. Peace and blessings. This is Bree. We're freestyling. What's your name and where you calling from? Hello?
Oh, I heard. They hung up.
Oh, boy. Okay,
I heard
people.
Them too.
Okay, people, 424-220-1862. That number is 424-220-1862. Okay. Let's continue. Now.
Well, wow. I hope they're getting their response together because they probably got scared by what I said and hung up.
Okay. Let me see if I can get my database for when I was experiencing so-called marital bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, boy.
See, you can't. I don't shut you up for once in your life. You don't know what
I know.
To
I'm having a hard time with this one. Because
you know why? You know why you're having a hard time? Let me tell you why you're having a
why?
Hard time. Because you know in the courting process, before the marriage, when you guys are being, I'm saying court like I'm old. That's, old folks use the word courting. But when you guys are dating, through the dating process leading up to marriage, it's just sex 24/7. You can't get enough of each other. You're all on top of each other all day long, every day. Okay? There's no special provision that you got to do this. We got to spring from a chandelier. There's no special provision. But after the marriage, after the hunt is over, here come all the nonsense. You take the garbage out, you might get some. If you do this, you might get some. You do that, you might. I have a problem with that. Because by you having sex with me, you're not doing me no favors. Women have to stop that. You're not doing me no favors.
Oh, you know, I don't like these blanket comments of yours because it's not just women that are.
Well, I'm a man,
so
I'm speaking.
Now, first of all, we're not in the relationship by ourselves. We're not in the marriage by ourselves. It's important that a man holds his own and, you know, contributes to. You got to put us in the mood. I mean, after we get married, we have children, we're working, we're trying to pay bills, we're dealing with family issues, we might be going to school in parallel. I mean, it's a lot going on in the course of marriage. And it's important, I think, when two people make time for one another. You got to make time for each other.
Mm-hmm.
To make time for each other, you have to romance each other. You gotta, you know. Here's the thing. For myself, let me just say this, because this is a common complaint that I get from the brothers. They say, you know, when I was going out with my girlfriend in the beginning, or when my wife and I were dating. You know, she would go out her way to look pretty all the time. To get her hair done, the nails done, da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, when she come to bed, she looked beautiful. And then after we became comfortable with one another, she stopped doing that. You know, she come to bed with T-shirts on and sweats on and all this stuff. And I got to say, And the famous thing, they cannot understand when you come to bed with the do-rag on your head or the head rag. They can't take that.
Mm-hmm.
The way you get a man, you got to keep him. The
right.
way you get a woman, you got to keep her. It's a two-way street. You cannot put the weight of keeping the relationship vibrant and sexy and whatever other adjective you want to use going if you both are not putting in the work. Because this, let me tell you something, it's a hard thing to be in a relationship. You've been in a marriage lopsided. I've been in one, two lopsided. It is hard to keep it going when it's lopsided. You cannot do all the work by yourself. And you can't put, so, you know, it's both people's fault. When the, when something fails, when you're in a relationship and it fails, it's my opinion. What the hell do I know? Okay?
Right.
But it's my opinion that it's both people's failure. Regardless if one person might have done something to kind of jump off the breakup, something, you have to take some portion of accountability for the failure.
But wouldn't you agree with me, and you probably won't, but wouldn't
don't
you agree with me
that? You never know.
Well, because women are more likely. Now, you're right. Both sides have to continue to do their part because we have to continue to try to date each other even after marriage. That's important. But
right.
typically women are the ones who want to use sex as a weapon as if they're doing us a favor by giving it to us. That's my big problem. That's the question. And
yeah,
I
hear that that's a big problem with you because you keep you stay to your script, Alex. I swear to God, you say that.
I'm not getting the answer.
Every freestyle show we have.
I'm not getting the answer. That's why. Somebody got to give me an answer.
Oh, my God. What about the men that are holding out?
We don't do that like y'all do.
Oh, there's some men out there holding out. You're not just going to sit here and tell me.
Are you mad?
You ain't going to sit here and tell me that it's just the women that are holding out. I know there's some brothers holding out, too.
Most of the time, it's women using sex as a weapon. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? You know it?
No, I don't know it.
You don't know it?
No, I don't. I say that I share that. I can't. I'm not feeling that.
If you don't do this, you ain't getting none tonight. If you don't have this, you ain't getting none tonight. If you don't bring me nothing from Valentine's Day, you ain't getting none of that. You ain't helping me. How you helping me by promising me that? I'm giving
you
some. I'm helping
heard,
you out.
Wait, hold on a second. No, for real, for real. You have actually heard a woman tell you, that, I mean, really, that if you don't bring me candy on Valentine's Day, you're not going to get none?
Not me, Percy, but I've heard stories from guys. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I know this goes on. You know what I'm saying? It goes. You don't bring
no,
me,
I don't know
you don't bring
what
me a Valentine's Day gift, anniversary gift, you're not getting none. You know, what is this?
People,
I don't know.
Please call in 424-220-1862. And, you know, it'd be great if I could get some female help here. I need some female help to deal with this brother here. So call in 424-220-1862 so we could kind of gang up on Alex. Cause,
yeah, you calling for a gangbang. You going to call for
out.
A gangbang.
You know what? Since we're on the subject of sex, you know, which I know is like one of your favorite subjects.
Oh yeah, love it.
To bring it, you know, down a notch and talk about something very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You have a teenager son, and I have a teenager son. Actually, our sons are the same age.
Same age. Mm-hmm.
15. And I have friends, and I have family members that have teenagers. And it was brought to my attention today that someone I know had their first conversation and sit down with a daughter discussing sex. When do you think, what do you think the appropriate age would be for parents to tell their children about sex?
Right at the stage when they're starting to develop. I think right after they have their first menstrual cycle. For girls, I think that's important. Because after menstrual cycles, they can get pregnant. So regardless of what age that is, I think you need to have that conversation when they start having their menstrual cycles.
Right.
Yeah, boys, you know, we tend to start producing sperm later, much more after the women are producing their menstrual cycles. So I would say around those times are perfect times, because those fluids and those bodily functions, that's what gets us in trouble. Because once the woman starts having menstrual cycles, their hormones start kicking in. Once the boys start producing sperm, their hormones start kicking in. So then they go out there and get themselves in trouble real quick. And then you end up with 13, 14-year-old girls and boys having babies, you see. So that conversation needs to happen early, sometime between 9 and 12. Start delving into it. And don't make it such a taboo, scary thing. I mean, sex is as natural as breathing. Make them comfortable with discussing it. It's okay. It's natural. It's how you got here. Don't make them so scared to come to you and bring the subject. I'm talking about sex. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a natural thing. It's as natural as breathing. And the more comfortable they are discussing it and hearing you talk about it, then they can come to you with various situations when their bodies go through changes and stuff. So I would say between 9 and 12.
Very interesting, especially today when children are having sex at a much younger age than I think ever in the history of the world, it seems like.
Yeah.
I also heard something very interesting that, and I've heard this from several people over the last 6 months talking about this very topic, that in an effort for girls in their mind to keep their virginity, there's a lot of oral sex going on in middle school and high school.
A lot.
This is a new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about that, I just want to mention, you're very right about the fact that parents should take a deep breath and just talk to their children and not make it a scary topic for them to feel like they can openly discuss, because, you know, let me tell you, my mother and father, and like I said, tonight's show is dedicated to my father, God rest his soul. He would have been 83 today. And I remember some of the most pivotal conversations, the most poignant conversations I ever had with my father would be in the car. We'd always be going somewhere. We'd be going to driving. I don't know why I remember this, but we'd be on the Bell Parkway on the way to my Uncle Alfie's house, or we'd be on the way to my grandmother's house, and my father would always be talking to me, and he'd always tell me about how nasty boys are, you know, just telling me all kind of stuff. And, you know, my mother sat me down, and she was like, if you have sex, I'm going to kill you. That was the bottom line. It was never any, like, you know, explaining, like, the body functions and, you know, what goes on with your body and what you should expect. You know, the first time it happens, you know, first time you have sex, the first time, I mean, and me and my girlfriends, because, you know, teenagers talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not as graphic as they do today, but, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about, you know, what our parents told us, and everything I remember was scary.
Right.
So, you know, it's real important that parents make it as easy as possible to share the information so that their children are not overwhelmed by the idea of it, because especially if they're our son's age, you know they're going through, my son is going through puberty. He can't stay awake most of the time. He's sleeping 12 hours a day, it seems like, and he inhales food. So, you know, his body is going through all these changes, and every time I try to talk to him about sex, he's like, oh, my God, Mom. I'm like, listen, the hell with that. Let me just explain this to you. And he won't sit still and listen. But, you know, I have to, like, put him in a headlock and get him to listen, because it's important.
Yeah, and you know what, Bree, I think, and I'm sure your mother was awesome, but her approach was so wrong, because anytime,
and you know what, Mom is listening, so you know.
Mom, your approach was wrong.
Dead wrong, Ma. Dead wrong.
And I'm gonna tell Mom why she was wrong.
Okay.
And she probably knows this. The more you tell a child what not to do, or the more you try to scare them into not doing something, is exactly the thing they're going to try to do. They want to know what's so bad about it. I got to find out. And this is when they start trying to do stuff.
Well, you didn't have my mother. So if my mother said, don't do something, I wasn't trying to do it. Because I didn't want to know the consequences of her finding out that I did something. So, no.
Wow.
There was none of that. Okay,
hey,
not on my side of the table.
You know what? My mother, Betty Leaf, was no pushover. She had three boys. My father wasn't there, okay? We got hit with everything. My mother was the only mother I know that would buy you a Christmas present and beat you with it.
Lord,
okay? You ever got beat with a Hot Wheel track?
No, darling, I never got beat with that.
My mother would buy us Christmas presents and then get mad and beat us with the Hot Wheel track. How you going to beat me with my present? My mother didn't play, man. You know?
My mother didn't play either, but she was a rah. But to wrap this topic up, you know, that's my freestyle. That's one of my freestyles for tonight. I think, this topic is coming up in conversation with friends, family members of mine that all have children that are teenagers, and it's important, I think, to discuss sex in a manner that you can grab your children's attention and hold it long enough to give them the information that they really, really need.
Yeah.
So that's my freestyle.
Well, I
said, what else you got for me?
Well, I'm gonna just mention this, because this is a way how conventional wisdom will always beat out juvenile logic, okay? And my stepson, when he was about 14, 15 years old, okay, he would spend an inordinate amount of time in the bathroom. Now, as a man, I knew what he was doing, okay? I went to his mother. I said, babe, he's in there experimenting with himself. He better not. He's just in the bathroom. He better not be. I said, babe, it's a normal, natural thing. He's in there experimenting with himself. So I went to my stepson. I said, I know what you're in there doing, because I've been that age. I know what you're. He denied. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He was just so irate. No, I am not. I wouldn't do that. I said, whatever. I'm just telling you it's okay. So what happened was, a little while after that, maybe some weeks had gone by, we did the laundry, okay? So we did all the laundry and everything, and we separated the clothes. We gave him his clothes, and we took our clothes and everything like that and folded stuff up. He comes barreling down the stairs, okay, with a white T-shirt in his hand, okay? Ma, Alex, I said, what's up? Y'all got to use some different detergent. You're using the wrong kind of detergent. I said, why? What's wrong with you? He said, because there are yellow stains in my T-shirt. I said, that's sperm. It don't come out. Okay? I told you I know what you're doing. Okay?
Lord have mercy.
And you know what his response was? Oh.
No, I don't know.
Oh. That's what he said. Oh. Because right then he knew he was busted. Oh, that's what he said. Oh. Because he knew he was, he had such a dumb look on his face, like, I'm busted. You know? So, and the thing, we can't have them being afraid to discuss this stuff with us. We have to
guide not, them. Listen, I'm going to tell you, come on, let's keep it real, all right? You think a teenager boy is going to tell his mother that you know, he's in the bathroom pleasuring himself? That's not about to happen. I don't see that happening.
You're right. You're right. And that's something that the men have to step up and deal with, because we know what he's going through. And these men have to step up with these boys, because the mother, he's not going to tell his mother what he's doing.
Okay,
and you're
so
right,
do me a favor. Do me a favor. For all the women listeners out there that are single mothers that don't really have male figures for their sons to turn to, what would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest if they have brothers. Okay,
if they have a male figure.
Right. If they have brothers, close male figures that they grew up with that are like brothers to them, have some male figures in this boy's life that you trust, that he look at as uncle or substitute father or whatever, and let it go from there, because the boys definitely need that. I can't say that enough. I needed it. All boys need it when they're growing up and going through those stages. So that's what I would say. That'd be my first suggestion. And if he's spending an inordinate amount of time in the bathroom, if you're a single mother, don't become alarmed. Don't be afraid because he's in there whacking off. Just understand that that's what he's doing. That's nature taking its course. He's trying to figure himself out, and it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
And
all
Alex,
right?
Tonight.
What?
Oh, my God. And we're freestyling. So, what else you got for me, Al?
Oh, man. No, I mean, I'm going to get into politics in a minute, but, you know, the romance in marriage, just to close out that topic, you know, there's still romance in marriage. The romance don't have to leave in marriage because, you know, I remember one night, and me and my wife, we made love for a whole hour and 3 minutes. Okay? Of course, that's not to set the clocks back. But it's still...
You told that joke last week. Cut it out. Or unless that just recently happened again. Oh, my God.
But
people,
I want to get into politics for a minute.
Save me, 424-220-1862. My goodness. You know what? Before we go to politics, let's talk about, I want the freestyle to kind of stay on relationships. Because
okay.
I know my listeners, for up to a certain degree, I know they're missing our famous topics about relationships from different perspectives. So I kind of want to infuse that into the discussion tonight in
okay.
our freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And let's stay on the topic of romance.
Okay.
Let's talk about two people who are trying to get to know one another and navigate to be able to read each other, you know, to know what the other person is thinking and feeling. And sometimes, okay, you know, let's even add a dynamic on this. Let's say the two people live a distance from one another. How do you think two people who live, let's say, 1,000 miles from one another would be able to figure out what their rules of engagement should be? How do they navigate the relationship? How do they build the relationship? how do they communicate with one another? What should they do? You know, what forms of communication should they utilize to communicate with one another? Should they be very verbal about their emotions that are developing? I mean, you know, what are really the rules of engagement? And being romantic, you know, what's appropriate romance in the beginning of a relationship? I mean, you know, this movie came out last weekend, Think Like a Man.
Made a lot of money.
Act Like a Lady. You know, I haven't seen it yet. I read the book. What do you think about that?
Well, that movie made a lot of money, for one, and which is a great thing for black cinema. It's a wonderful thing for black cinema that movie made so much money and was number one at the box office last weekend. But when you're dealing with long-distance relationships, you deal with a different dynamic than regular relationships. Your challenges are different than people who live in the same area, the same vicinity. So the challenges are different. The rules of engagement are different when this is a long-distance situation. It's harder to manage that. But what I would say regarding long-distance relationships and dealing with that whole dynamic is you really have to have transparency. And you have to have an understanding that this is what I'm doing while I'm, you know, 100,000 miles away or whatever. And if I tell you I'm going to call you at a certain time, that I will be calling you because I'm so far away, my time may be limited, whatever. And you need that transparency. You got to focus on building a trust much more so, in my opinion, than two people who are in the same vicinity. Because of the distance, because of the challenges you're dealing with, you have to put much more effort into building that trust, having that transparency, being very communicative on a regular basis, because you're not seeing each other. You're not touching each other. You're not holding each other. You're not doing those ordinary things that regular couples do when they're dating, okay? So you have a different set of rules and different sets of challenges. And navigating through that is a very complicated process. But I would first start, like I said, with transparency, because that's crucial.
And what do you consider transparency to be?
Well, transparency to me is the person being real open about who they are. If they said they're going to do something, do it. If they say they're going to be somewhere, be there. Now, that's not to say stuff don't happen on the fly, rules change, whatever, but as a general rule, if you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Okay? If you say you're going to call me at a certain time and you know I'm expecting that call, call me. If you can't, then shoot a text, oh, babe, I'm running late, whatever, I got to put the call off for an hour, something. But that's transparency to me, okay, being open about your background, okay, so the person knows what they're dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Have you come from an abusive home or situation? Have you committed a crime maybe no one really knows about that you need to be open about? All these kind of things is what the relationship is going to be built on. That's the foundation. When a person knows that you're not going to hide anything from them, that they're going to tell you everything, and you can trust that they're going to tell you, and you don't have to hear it in the street, that's just a whole new different thing for as far as building that solid foundation for relationships. Because my wife always tells me, she said, I trust what you're telling me. She said, nobody can tell me nothing in the street, and I'm going to come in and accuse you of it. If I don't hear from you, it didn't happen. She said, now, you could have done it, but if I don't hear from you, to me it doesn't exist, because I trust that much in your word and what we've built amongst ourselves. So because people outside could tell you any old thing, because they don't want to see you together, they're trying to break you up, whatever.
I tell you stuff because they're jealous of what you have at home. So they want to see that break up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's old game.
Huh. Transparency?
Transparency.
That's
a good word. You know,
yeah, it's a good
word. Yeah, my first R Extra show, me and Stoney's first R Extra show was on transparency. it was so important. We did it as our first show. That's how important it is to us.
Well, I talk about transparency a lot. Would you consider transparency to be equal to disclosure? Or are they two different things?
No, they're very similar. Because when you're transparent, you are disclosing. You're being
mm-hmm.
transparent. You're opening up yourself. You're giving information about yourself that you wouldn't ordinarily give. So you're disclosing, and you're being transparent with the person you're interested in, you want to build a life with. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, you know, and it's very important, you know. So I would encourage people. I'm going to give myself a shameless plug. If you're on Facebook, go to Relationship Extra. We have a fan page there. You can watch all of our videos. And transparency was the first video that we did. We have a 14, 15 episode series now that we've done. But transparency was number one because we felt that was most important. And the reason why we felt that was most important is because you have all these relationships with these cell phones and Facebook breaking up relationships and marriages and Twitter breaking up relationships. It's all nonsense. You know, people going to the bathroom with their cell phone. Why you got to go to the bathroom with your cell phone? You know, why you got to hide it? Why, you know, why when you get home, it's on vibrate?
Right. Well, you on the line that week where I believe it was Yvette from Chicago, or Yvette from Chicago had stated that, I believe you were on the line that week. It was Mark, you, Turtle,
uh-huh.
and she was on the line, and she was saying that that a guy that she was dating would take his phone into the bathroom, and he'd be in there, you know, extra, a few extra minutes, and it would seem as though, you know, and she, you know, she confronted him about why you taking your phone. I mean, listen, I don't, my whole thing is, when we get to be our age, what are you thinking about when you're trying to, what would I say, when you're trying to multi-manage several relationships at the same time? When it's so easy just to tell, you know, I talked with you earlier today, and I talked with our good friend from Chicago today, and I talked a couple of other people the last couple of weeks, and over the series of having discussions about the relationship shows that I've done, and I don't understand why the need for not telling the truth or transparency or disclosure. You know, why are people wasting each other's time lying or wasting somebody's time lying, not being honest? It's one thing not to tell a person something because, and it's not right, mind you, but I can understand a person being hesitant because they don't want to hurt the person's feelings about something that's not relational to being involved with somebody else or, you know, cheating or anything of that nature. But, you know, when you're doing that, when you're actually engaging in a relationship with somebody else or you're seeking out new relationships, if you're not happy with what you have, why can't you just tell a person and try to either fix it? And if you know it's not fixable, move on. Because you're blocking that person's blessings, and guess what? You messing up future blessings for yourself. That's right. Bree said it all night long.
Easy for you to say.
Not easy.
Well, can I address it?
Of course. That's what you're here for. We freestyle.
Well, you know, I didn't want to cut you off. You know, I wanted you to finish your thought. You know,
okay, go on.
Before I destroy your theory.
Oh, you know, you're not going to break.
Okay.
You're not going to bust. Theory, babe.
You know, first and foremost, okay, people our age in their 40s, early, mid, or late 40s, okay, we automatically, most of us, coming into a situation with baggage. You can't be so insensitive as to think you're the only one with baggage, because the person you're seeing more than likely has baggage. What is that baggage? They may have been married and divorced. They may have multiple kids by multiple people. They may have had a house foreclosed, a house burned down. They may have just lost a job. They may, who knows what they're going through, okay, or what they've been through. So everybody in our age group has baggage. And if you're insensitive to just be concerned with your baggage and not somebody else's, you should stay by yourself, because everybody got something they're dealing with, okay? The next thing is transparency, disclosure. Yes, that's very important, but it has to come in small increments, because this is what happens in the beginning. You don't want to give anybody total access into your life and scare them off, because you're trying to put your best foot forward. There may have been some things that you may have done that are unsavory, you're not proud about, and you intend on telling them, but you're not going to tell them on a second date, okay? You got to figure out, where am I going with this person, if this is something that's going to be for the long haul? Because if it's not, why be totally transparent? Why disclose all of my life and all of my business in a short period of time, and the person's not going to be around? So that has to happen in small increments. And I think it's very important that people understand that, because a lot of times people want to go and poke and prod and Google names and do this and do that to find out who they're dealing with and find out and get mad. You didn't tell me this, but you didn't give me a chance to. You know, stop assuming everybody's out to get you, because you've been burned. They've been burnt too, okay? I told you earlier today, Bree, I said, unless, with all the hurt and pain that we've all been through in past relationships and past situations, unless you understand that you need to become vulnerable, you can never really love the way you need to love, because you're always going to be protected. You're going to be walled up. You're going to be tight. So you're never going to be in a vulnerable position to love properly. And that's important. So, you know, I can't stress that enough. You know, relationships are difficult, particularly at our age. We have children. Some children are grown. I have a 21-year-old, okay, still needs dad, okay, because you still have to guide them. They're still children. They're still not cooked upstairs, you know. So all these things that we have to deal with in relationships, but you can't be overly consumed and so insensitive with your own garbage and baggage that you don't understand this person you see may have some too.
Okay, did you hear that, people? and that was supposed to bust up my theory that wait, hold on, because I want to get, you know, let me bring the mic closer, because I want to make sure. let me put the headphones on a little tighter. Is it my understanding that you're saying that because of past pains and hurts that I should, or that our listeners who are single in the dating hood should overlook the need for transparency and disclosure and have the expectation of that and not have the expectation of that because people have baggage?
Well, see, typical woman, not listening, hearing what you want to hear.
Oh, wait a minute. I know you're not trying to shine on me.
That's what I said, typical.
No, not typical. Not typical.
Well, you didn't even hear. You didn't hear what I
heard everything you said, and I'd say 90% of what you say, I agree. But here's one question I want to ask you. Let's say it's something real life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think it's important that a person disclose that early on and stand back and see what the reaction of this person that they're interested in is going to be. Once you determine that you like this person, you really liking this person, you really want to see where this is going, but you have some life-changing thing that has happened to you that impacts you every day and could have an effect on the future with that individual, don't you think you should tell them right away? Because wouldn't you rather know whether or not a person is going to be able to accept you or not?
You know,
do you think it's reasonable to say that it's better to tell a person, find out what their reaction is going to be, if they're going to be supportive or not? Because if they're not going to be supportive, why marinate yourself into a situation that a person is not going to be supportive of you? Why do that?
And back to my point, why open yourself up to everything all in one shot? It has to be done in small increments because you don't know if this person is going to be around. You don't know if they're the ones for the long haul. So
sometimes a person will present themselves like, yeah, I'm all down for you. I got your back. I'm with you. And you've gone through the process of the small increments, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, yeah, you got my back? Okay. Well, let me see how much my back you got. And then you drop that thing on them. And then
Okay. Now
you're looking at a person looking at you like with a deer in the headlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know what, Ree?
And then they say, well, you know what? I don't think I could deal with this.
Right.
I don't think I could deal with this. Oh, and remind me, I got to tell you something very interesting. Oh, my God. Got to tell you something that happened to me.
Wow. Well, you know, let me say this to what you're saying. If a person has a deadly disease that they can transfer to me, if they got HIV or something like that, I want to know that ASAP. It's your responsibility to let me know that ASAP.
Exactly.
So I know what I'm getting into. Okay, there's no question about that. Okay, you have to let me know ASAP. If it's something like, you have to discern the information. Okay, what should I put out at any given moment? Some things need to be disclosed ASAP, okay? If the person has committed some kind of crime that they're not really proud of and they had to do it for a situation that just came up and they did it, that may not be something they may want to tell you up front, okay? But it's something that they should tell you, obviously, over time once they know you're going to be hanging around, okay? So
yeah, but one day I wonder if that's a deal breaker for the other person. Now, you spend 6 months with a person, and then you tell them such a thing as that, and then they're like, oh, no, I can't rock with this. I'm out.
Bree, how soon do you want to know everything about the person you're with? Those things take time.
Look, I want to know everything. Lab Fragonackle didn't tell me everything.
That's unreasonable. And
change my life forever. I want to know everything now. Now.
No. You're
now, right now.
You're unreasonable.
I want to know everything.
You're unreasonable. Yes. You're unreasonable. You.
Tell me everything now, please. I want to know your blood type. I want to know everything. Everything. Everything.
You're unreasonable.
Oh, my goodness.
Bree,
listen.
How is a person who has lived 45, 46, 48, 50 years going to tell you their entire life in a 1 week, 2 month span? That's not going to happen.
If you talk to a person enough every day, you don't have to tell them everything. But I'm just
saying.
That's what
you're making it sound.
No, I want to know the things that are really important. I don't want a person misrepresenting themselves. Mm-hmm. If you're married, tell me you're married. if you're actively married, you need to tell that person, I'm married, so that they can make a decision whether or not they want to be involved with you. If you're separated, tell the person you're separated, so that they can make a choice. Do I really want to be involved with a separated person? Because that person can always go back to their spouse.
Right.
You know, stop lying, folks. Stop lying to each other about the important shit. Because, oh, God, I'm cursing. Why
yeah,
is that?
You mad now.
Free Allen, call in 424-220-3. We are freestyling. This is a passionate topic. Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. Hold on.
That's funny.
Wait. Okay. It is important. Stop lying, people. Tell the important stuff so that people can make an informed decision. When you lie to a person, you take away their choices, and that's not right. It has happened to me. And it was a life-changing situation, and God help me. It's a wonder I still have hair on my head. Please, tell the truth. Okay, go on.
Oh, wow.
We freestyling.
I got the perfect question for you.
Yes.
I got the perfect question for you. If someone verbally, vocally comes out and express something to you that's an untruth, that's a lie, okay, and you find it to be untrue, obviously that's a lie. If a person chooses to withhold information and never say anything about it for a certain period of time, is that a lie, or they just didn't tell you?
It's a lie.
How is it a lie?
It's a lie because, well, I don't have the Webster's Dictionary nearby, but, you know, withholding information is also not, okay, give you an example. A man and a woman are dating. The man tells the woman he's divorced. They're involved with one another. They get engaged to be married. They live with one another 3-4 years. By accident, the woman finds out he's still married.
Mm-hmm.
And she confronts him. Because guess what happens? Just by chance, maybe one of his friends slipped up and said something to her, or maybe the wife that he said was an ex-wife calls the house that they're living in.
Mm.
Now, he withheld information. Was that right or wrong?
See, you're mixing words here.
No,
I'm going to tell you why you're mixing words. What he is
doing, withheld information.
No,
was it a lie? Yes or no?
Can I tell you? It's not a lie.
Hurry up.
It's not a lie.
What?
Hurry up.
It's not a lie.
It's not a lie. Because
what is it?
I'm going to tell you. If you listen, okay? What he is doing, he is being deceitful.
Yes.
But he never lied. Because he never said nothing to her to lie. He
is being
deceitful. Being
deceitful a synonym of lying?
No.
Or lie?
No. I mean, I can understand how the two can get confused, okay? But he's being deceitful. If he had said to her, I'm not married, I've never been married, and then this thing happened, okay, he's a liar and a deceiver. If he never said anything, then he's just being deceitful.
Was he wrong?
Wrong, dead wrong. I'm not justifying
it.
I'm telling you what the difference is.
That's enough for me.
Okay, I'm telling you what the difference is. Okay, that's enough for you, huh?
Yep.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. When you kick in the high gear, you really kick in, don't you?
if a man that you're with for 3 years tells you, oh, I only have 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, by accident, you discover he has a 3rd child that, you know, you saw pictures of maybe and always ask, you know, who's this kid? Because he looks like, I don't know, your mother. And the man says, oh, that's my godson. But then 3 years later, you find out that's his son. Was that a lie, or was that being deceitful?
That's a blatant lie, because he already said he only has 2 children. So that's a blatant lie. And unfortunately, that's a common story. A lot of men tend to hide their children. That happens. I can't even imagine being ashamed of my children enough to hide them from anybody. That's something I would never do. You have to accept me and my children as a package deal, or it just can't happen. But a lot of men do that. I don't understand it. But that's pretty common practice. So that's an outright lie. That's not being deceitful, because he opened his mouth to begin with to say he only had 2.
Yeah, but the same mouth that opened to say that he only had 2 children also opened to say that he was divorced, and he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He lied.
Right.
He not only lied, but he was deceitful because he didn't disclose.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I can see where you can get that from. But there is
a slightly
different dynamic.
You know, that's thin. That's thin, baby. That's thin. Was he not just lying? Was he just lying, or was he lying and being deceitful?
Hey, it's tight, but it's right. I'm just telling you. If the person never said anything and you find out, that's deceit. If the person tells you what something is and you find out that it isn't, that's a lie. I'm just telling you. Now we're talking apples and oranges here. Okay? It still comes across as betrayal and painful and so forth. So we're just talking apples and oranges, the different dynamics of what is a lie and what's deceit or betrayal kind of thing. So you're right. If a person comes out and says, I only have 2 children, and 3 months later you find out they got 3 children, he lied. He told you out of his mouth, I got 2 children, knowing he had 3. You see? So I have no patience for that either. And the problem with people like us when we get in our 40s, we have very little patience for nonsense, or no patience for it, because we've been through so much already. That's where you are, Bree. That's right.
Why
are you
talking about me now?
Because you're the one jumping around using the S word. You know?
What it is with me, when I talk about people being deceitful or they're lying, I just lose all objectivity because...
Apparently.
I don't like it. I'm not perfect in the world, but one thing I'm not is a liar. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the hard truth, you know, and let the chips fall where they may, because
you're
going to have to accept me the way I am, or, you know, you can step off. That's the plain truth.
That's where you are in your life right now.
Yeah, but we ain't talking about me. We talk about hypothetical situations. We ain't talking about me.
Yeah, okay. Well, make sure you differentiate.
Last week, I'm good.
Because you mighty hyper right now, so make sure you differentiate.
Oh, no. You know what? I drank my first glass of Coca-Cola in 2 weeks. Oh, as a matter of fact, that's what I wanted. We are freestyling. Call in 424-220-1862. Speaking of Coca-Cola, all the listeners who have been listening to the show from the very beginning, I talked to you about this guy that came to the house three times and never even brought a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
With him. Well, guess what happened? I received an email. And guess what? That particular guy has been listening to the show.
Uh-oh.
And he wrote me a long email apologizing. Well, firstly saying, you know, he just wanted to know how I've been. He hasn't heard from me. You know, he wishes me all the best and blah, blah, blah. And then he went on to ask, you know, what happened and da-da-da and this and that and the other. And I thought that was very, I just thought it was unbelievable timing that, you know, he said, I've been listening to the show. And what made me crack up was at the end of the email. At the end of the email, he says, I just want to know. When you talk about this person that came to your house three times, were you referring to me?
Ooh, boy.
I never responded to the email, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he's listening.
Right.
So I just want to tell him on the air,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was mm-hmm. talking about you.
mm-hmm. Wow.
I was talking about you. Sorry.
Now you want to apologize.
No, listen, you know, there's some of us. Go on.
You know what? Would you accept if he bought a Pepsi?
Oh, no. I don't like Pepsi. Pepsi tastes like aluminum foil. I don't drink Pepsi.
What?
Only Coca-Cola.
He bringing something?
I would accept seltzer water before I take. I like seltzer water too. I wouldn't drink Pepsi.
Wow. Okay. Well, the point is the man bringing something. That's your whole point. He won't bring nothing. The Coca-Cola is the symbol.
Well, that's not the point. But you know, because he's not even welcome back here. So he can't come back. Three strikes and you're out.
You wow, you are very harsh.
Listen, when you're 47 years old, you should have figured this out.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Basic etiquette, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do people feel about that? I'm waiting to hear from you people. 424-220-1862. We are free. Styling.
You scared the people off. They listening, but they're not calling.
So, as a matter of fact, I want to take this time to thank my listeners, because the Bree Life Radio Show would not be possible without the support of the listeners. Our show last week on what does it mean to be Black in America now was one of the top-rated shows of the history of the Bree Life Radio Show. So I want to thank the listeners for all the support. And I even want to thank the listeners that go back and or they tell their friends and family. I'm getting a lot of feedback that people are also, you know, telling their family, if you didn't listen to the show, go back and listen to the archives, which they're all of the shows are available in the archive section on blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. And you can listen to the archive shows. We've had some really good ones. And I want to thank the listeners for making that possible. So, Alex, you said you wanted to talk about politics.
Well, you know, and you know, we kind of deviated from that and I want to make one more point because I really can't stay on the phone much longer. I gotta go. You know, I gotta give my wife 2 minutes of my time, which is basically all I'm worth. That's another story. But
uh-uh.
2 minutes and an hour nap. But that's another story. But what I want to say is the three-parter, what it's like to be black in America right now, with three of the most awesome shows that probably has ever been done, probably in the history of any radio. You know, I've heard a lot of political radio shows in my time, political television and so forth, but I never heard anything go as in-depth with our problems as well as our solutions as that three-part series. So I would encourage all the listeners to go back into the archives of Breed Life Radio and listen to parts 1 through 3 of what it's like to be black in America right now, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get a whole lot out of it. And it may inspire you to move. It may inspire you to action. You have to make a change. We're all leaders in our own right. And if you need something to inspire you to move into action, listen to those three parts in that order. Don't listen to part 2, then part 3, and go back to part 1. 1, 2, and 3, because we start with all the issues that has been plaguing people of color for centuries right up until today, into the solutions about how we get past it. And I think it was just an awesome thing. So I'm gonna close with that. I'm going to say that I love you, and I'm going to be on the next show. Whatever it is, I'll be on it.
Well, our next show, Alex, next week, Wednesday, we are going to be talking about another confrontational subject, unfortunately, and that is we're going to be talking about child custody and child support issues. And
yeah.
On that show, I'm going to be joined by yourself and General Parker, who is the executive director of Illinois Fathers, and Michael McCormick, who's the executive director of the American Coalition of Fathers and Children. It's going to be, it's going to be a very passionate, driven show. Child custody issues and child support issues are very sensitive topics. They plague people of color, African American families, and no one wins in those situations, especially the children. The children are the biggest losers in these situations. So this is a topic that might also require a three-part series, because there's so many different dynamics that, you know, that really govern the family court system here in America. And what shouldn't be very shocking to most people is that from state to state and from county to county, the decisions on what happens in these cases are very different, where most people feel that children should wind up with their mothers. That in right now in the history of the world, fathers are getting their children at somewhat alarming rates now than they've ever gotten them before. And I'm not saying that fathers are not worthy of being custodial parents, because I know some really, really fabulous fathers. So, but this is an issue that might require a three-part series, because I'm already receiving text messages and phone calls about, and I've already received actually 2 emails from men that, you know, have a lot to say about the topics. And because, you know, we have a 2-hour show, I'm not sure if I'll be able to take everyone's calls. So it might require a 3-part series. So
yeah.
I encourage everyone to call in next week and listen to the show. But, Alex, I know you got to go, and I want to say thank you for participating in our freestyle tonight. And tell my
Sister, I say hi and give my niece a kiss.
I will, Bree. It's always a pleasure. I love you, and we'll speak during the time between now and next show, but I look forward to the next show. Love you, and I love all the listeners. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Well, we're going to take another caller, and I'm going to attempt to pick up a caller that was on, that's been on the line for a little while, and that caller, okay, actually, I'm going to pick up the caller from 443-370. That number,
443-370. Hey, Bree.
Peace and blessings.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine. And listeners, this is my very good friend, Carl, from Annapolis, Maryland. Well, how are you tonight?
All righty. Hey. How's your freestyle going tonight?
The freestyle is going fabulous. You just missed Brother Alex.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been listening, but as usual, he's on fire.
I caught the tail end of a little bit of it. Very interesting. Very good points, too.
Well, thank you. So, tell me, it's Thursday. It's freestyle. And what is yours tonight?
Well, mine is the high taxes that we pay in some of these states in the United States in this union. Like you were saying about child support, and I know that's going to be the next show, but it's surprising here we are in another election year and nobody's focusing on the taxes that we are paying in some of these states. I mean, if your government always preaches they're going to make life better for the citizens and they want to make life better for the citizens and you can have money to take care of your family and buy this and buy that, but I find it a little ironic they preach this, but then you always see taxes rising up. I know here in Maryland, gasoline is high, and then our state governor wants to add a 6% tax on the gas, and which will cause it to rise a little bit more. And everybody can't understand if gas is already high and people can't afford it or struggling, why you want to put another 6% tax increase on it?
Wow. So tell me, in the state of Maryland right now where you live, in Annapolis, what are people paying for unleaded gas?
I think right now it's around $3.89 for regular, but if you burn high tests, you still like, maybe $3.90, something like that, close to $4. It's not $4. Well, in some areas it is $4, but you know, you see the prices gradually coming down, but like always they go up fast and they come down, so
unbelievable.
But,
what,
you know, to those who don't know, the president has nothing to do with the price of gasoline, so don't feed into the Republicans' rubbish. The president cannot control the price of gas. Bush couldn't do it, Clinton couldn't do it, and President Obama won't be able to do it.
Well, I do believe that we as citizens should boycott. We should do something to make our voices known about how we feel about this daggone gas. I mean, you know, what would you suggest we do in an effort to try to get the gas prices down, to force the gas companies to lower the prices? I mean, do you think that possibly not purchasing gas anywhere in the country for a week would make a difference? And how disciplined do you think we as citizens are to make such a sacrifice?
Well, actually, I don't think we're that disciplined, because if we were that disciplined, we would already take a stand and, you know, stand together and, just like you said, refuse to buy gas for about a week. And you can imagine the outcry from these oil companies, you know what I mean, with gas in these refineries. I mean, it would be like a nightmare. But another point, a lot of the gas, and which I don't think a lot of people know, or may know, a lot of gas isn't refined in the United States. It's actually shipped here from the Middle East already refined. So in turn, the oil companies just pass the cost on to us. So that means because they don't have to deal with the high insurance on refineries, it's better for them to shut it down, let the oil be refined in the Middle East, come across here by ship. It's more profitable for them because they're going to pass the cost on to us. And if we were disciplined, yeah. I mean, if everybody boycotted and said, hey, you know what, for a whole 2 weeks or a week, we're not going to purchase gas, it would really get their attention. Because if you're not selling a product, you're stuck with it. So what is your recourse? To sell it cheaper or give it away, right?
That's right. Wow. Well, I know that I'm sick to death of these daggone gas prices going up and up and up and up. I right now where I live, gas is about $4.09 a gallon.
Right.
And that's entirely too much. I don't care. It's entirely too much. And I do think we need to do something collectively as a country to stand firm. And I mean, okay, is a week a bit of a stretch when people have to drive backwards and forwards to work or whatever? But I'm telling you, it should be several days, or it should be like for an entire weekend. How's about that? And not only just not drive or not buy gas, because here's another thing that I know that's affecting Maryland like it has affected New York. Your tolls have gone up. I know you've had an increase in tolls just this past summer, and so did we. If we cut down on our driving anywhere that would require us to have to pay tolls, in addition to not buying gas, that would make a huge impact.
Yeah, it would, but it's funny because the federal government gives the state, you know, we were talking about last week, some coworkers and I, we were just, you know, talking about things like this, high gasoline, high taxes in Maryland. I mean, Maryland is one of the states, I mean, with the highest taxes. I mean, you know, you work in Maryland and you work for the municipalities right here, the city and the county. And it's funny because you work here and you can't afford, half of them can't even afford to live in the same county or city they work for. So a lot of times when people retire, they're moving out of Maryland because the taxes are so high. Secondly, you know, we were talking about a one tax system. You know, the federal government gives the states money anyway, and the states dwindle that money down to the local municipalities. So why not just pay a federal tax and be done with it? Thirdly, the federal government gives the states money for bridge and road construction. Well, instead of them using those funds for what it's meant for, a lot of times when they make bad decisions or something, that money is used for something else in the system, they'll use the federal highway money and try to use that to balance the budget or make up for a shortfall. So in essence, that's why they raise the prices up on tolls, they raise the taxes up on gasoline, on alcohol, to try to make that money back so they can use it for what the federal money was supposed to be used for. So it's just like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right. Well, I tell you, it's just a never-ending cycle, and it doesn't look like things are getting better. It looks like things are getting worse, but, you know, I hate complaining about stuff. I wish that, you know, we could get together and just, you know, work hard to try to make some type of change in what's going on, because people are going to soon not even be able to afford to go to work. How's about that? People who have to go, who have to drive 20, 40, 50, I know somebody that drives 75 miles one way to work. Now, luckily for him, he makes almost $90,000 a year. But in his estimation of, we had a talk about 2 weeks ago, and he guesstimated that he spends about $325 a week in gas.
Wow.
Just to go to work. Because he drives a car that requires at least the mid-level gas.
Right, right.
And then he's driving 75 miles one way.
Wow. Wow.
So it costs about $300 a week to travel.
Back I know here in Maryland. Road. I know here in Maryland.
I'm sorry?
Especially, I know here in Maryland at the airport, I had a friend that was working there. He was actually brought something to my attention that I thought was really unique. The airport buses, the shuttle buses, actually run off propane.
And I found that kind of
surprising. I mean, because I thought everything either ran off of diesel gas. He said, no, those buses run off propane, which I thought was a very unique, you know, alternative. I mean, being as though we got so much natural gas and everything stored in the United States, you know. And plus, you know, when it comes down to high gas, why don't we upgrade our rail system to go further, and the cities, you know, upgrade their rail systems. I know in New York, I mean, I know you have Amtrak, you have Long Island Rail.
Metropolitan rail systems in the world.
Yeah. Then you got subways, but other states, you know, just don't have that. I know here in Maryland, especially in Annapolis, Annapolis is like the historic capital. We used to call it's called the ancient city because it's one of the oldest cities in the country. But rail, subway, anything like that would never come to Annapolis City because of historic value. You know, for the most part, they try to keep it historically because it goes back to the colonial days. But even bringing it, I mean, close to Annapolis through the counties, you know what I mean, where it's feasible for people who work so far, you know what I mean? Just think of all the gas they'd be saving.
Do you have commuter buses?
Yeah, we have commuter
buses,
take
you to D.C.?
Yeah, they have those. They have those. But I tell you how much it's grown. When they first built the parking ride for the commuter buses to take the people to Washington and go to work, they had a small little lot. In 5 years, they had to expand that lot, and they expanded it. And just 2 years ago, they expanded it again. So that gives you a pretty idea how many people are starting to commute. You know, but I think we have to do more as far as, you know, not just buses, but, you know, a nice rail system to get people to Annapolis or, you know, other points, you know what I mean, where they don't have to drive, you know what I mean? They can just go to the rail station and catch the rail to work and all of that.
I think it's
a lot of alternatives we can do instead of, you know, being dependent on, you know, foreign oil, as they say, or gas. I mean, if we had all of that, you'd see the gas prices drop because now you're not that dependent on gas, you know what I mean, to go everywhere. You've got the rail system, you've got buses or whatever. Even the airline tickets have jumped up. I mean, I looked at a ticket just the other day to somewhere that I was thinking about traveling. And, I mean, I've been there before and got good deals. Now the rates have jumped up so high, I mean, God, I mean, it's just like you have to save 3 months just to buy a ticket. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. What about electric cars? Why aren't these car companies, capitalizing on the fact that gas is so high, and we need an alternative to commute to driving?
Well, the funny part is, they used to advertise how many hybrids that Toyotas have. You remember seeing those commercials on TV?
Oh, I know, because I don't watch TV too much.
Well, they used to advertise, Toyota used to advertise, be the leader in advertising, you know, Toyota, Honda, and all of them, they would advertise hybrids. But during the crisis that the car manufacturers were going through recently, when they was asking for the bailout, don't you know GM actually had more hybrids than Toyota and Honda put together? But you would never know it because they don't advertise it. So I was thinking, how can you sell a product that nobody knows about, but you're trying to save money because it costs so much to advertise your goods? But advertising is important because if you don't advertise, they don't know.
That's
but it
right.
took a major crisis. It took a major crisis. I mean, crisis like this. You know what I mean? For them to come out and say, yeah, you know, because the president was talking about, you know, alternatives. And it was like, yeah, we got hybrid this and hybrid that. I never even knew they had that many hybrids. I'm talking about GM. I mean, far surpassed Toyota and Honda, but you never knew it. So I think a lot of these big companies, when they're talking about cutting corners because they're looking at profits, sometimes you just got to take a back seat and say, hey, look, I know you have to, you know, make a profit, but if you're not advertising your goods and really pushing that out to the public, how do they know?
And, you know, and it also is good for the environment, too, that
sure.
Car manufacturers make more electric cars. It's better
right.
for the environment. So it's
right.
a win-win situation.
Right.
I don't know why they're not – I don't know why more electric cars are not being manufactured or – and then I do remember when hybrids first came out, they were very expensive.
Yeah, I mean you make a car that's environmentally friendly, but the price tag goes up. And then with a lot of electric cars, the problem was the batteries. Some say the batteries didn't last long, and then others said the batteries were so expensive to replace. And then again, charging station. Where would you put the charging station? Would you put them in gas station, which is a bad combination when you got gas and electric nearby, you know? So I mean, all of those things came into play when they were talking about electric cars. You know, so my thing is, if you're going to build a car that's affordable, build a car that's affordable. Don't build a car and put all this technology in it, and then it's just like paying a second mortgage if you purchase one. You know, people want a good deal. They want something solid. They want something that's going to last, but they want a good deal. They don't want to pay $40,000 or $50,000 for a car. That's just like two mortgage payments. And with the economy today and how people are struggling just to make ends meet, that's not feasible. That's not feasible.
No, it's not. Not at all. So, Carl,
so,
what have you been up to?
Just working.
What's going on? We got about 7 more minutes before the show closes out. Anything you want to talk about in particular?
No, I mean, it was just good, you know, to talk to you again. I mean, I know we've been talking off and on, and, you know, I said that I would, you know, like to come back and, you know, freestyle on the show again. It's just work's been so busy. I mean, we're getting out of one season into another, and, you know, with so much going on in the government nowadays, it's just like you got people retiring. So when people retire, you know what's happened. Their work gets passed down. So a lot of times it's just not enough time in the day to do everything you want to do. So you prioritize, you know what I mean, and you hope you have time at the end of the day to do some other things. But unfortunately, it doesn't work out that way all the time.
Yeah, I know. But thank God, you know, thank God you have a job and, you know, you're able to sustain a way of life because, as we know, the economy is so bad that there are many people out of work. So
yeah. And that's why I don't complain. I mean, because, you know, you think you have it bad, if somebody's got it, it's worse than you. So, I mean, I count my blessings that, you know, I'm still healthy and I still have a job to go to, as you said. But, you know, I don't squabble. I just do what I have to do. And, you know, hopefully the economy gets better. And I think it will. I think a lot of this with the economy is playing on the election. You know, you got an upcoming presidential election, and You know, it's funny to hear Republicans talk. I mean, we're going to do this. We got to get President Obama out there, and he's the worst president. But you see all these Republicans who pull to be so smart and is going to do so much, and you see them on national TV backstabbing each other. So my point is, if you backstabbing each other on national TV just to run for the highest office in the land, how are you going to get anything done if you get in office? Because you're fighting against each other, and it's usually the Democrats and the Republicans, and now the Republicans against the Republicans. So, you know, it gives you an insight, you know, to what's really going on behind the scenes.
Well, like we had George Cook on our show last night, on my show last night for what it means to be black in America now, and he made some very good points about the fact that there is an enormous importance that people overlook with the right to vote. You got to get out there and vote. And you can't just wait for major presidential elections to vote. You need to vote in primaries. You need to vote at your local municipality level. You need to vote. there was a period of time where we, as you know, African Americans didn't have that right, and many people died for us to have the right, and we need to exercise it every chance we are given.
Well, that's the sad part, because we, being the age that we understand that, we remember that. But it's a total different generation. It's just like the parents didn't pass that knowledge on and that experience on to the kids. You know what I mean? They didn't let them know how far we've come, where we've come from, what we had to go through to get here. You know, it's people, I mean, during election time, it's funny. You see more people going to the store, the mall, get the hair done, the nail done, or just hang out, than you see going to the polls and vote. But then again, they're the main ones complaining about, well, why is this so high, or why we don't have this? What happened to that? If you took that same time and got out there and looked at the candidates, get into politics, understand what it's really about, know how to read between the lines, you know, and take a good look at these candidates when they're running, you will see why. And sadly to say, this young generation of blacks are so out of tune. They're so out of tune about what's really going on, not just in the United States, but in the world in general. I mean, there's so much going on in the world beyond the United States. I mean, a lot of people don't have any idea.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, that's another thing that I made a point about last night, that it's important for us to pass on as much information and history to our children as possible. And I was talking to the panel, and we all are in the same age group, and I was sort of reminiscing on when I was in school and how we had to do current events. You know, we had to get a newspaper and read a newspaper article and, you know, paste it to a piece of paper and write a synopsis of what we read about the article. And that was a form of us learning about the society that we lived in. And I don't know that teachers are doing that, because I have a son who's 15, and not since he was in second grade has he had to do any assignments that I was aware of that had anything to do with current events. So I feel that we put a lot of accountability with the teachers, and they should have a level of accountability, because they are with our children probably 25% of the day, but right, the other 75%, we need to apply infuse some information in their heads and to give them a sense of pride because of who they are, and to for them to know the people that they came from. So
right,
Paul, at this time, I want to thank you for calling in the free. And I want to close out the show with telling everyone that you can reach me on BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. You can also reach me at Facebook, at BreeLifeRadio at Facebook, and the same at Twitter. And I want to thank you all for listening and for those who called in. And I want to tell you all that I love you all on purpose. Thank you for another great freestyle. And our show on Wednesday next week will be about child custody and child support issues, friend or foe. Take care. Peace and blessings. And I am out.
Out the break. What up, break? And we're finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn, and the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of